Well, let me say, firstly, good morning. It's a real joy for me to be here today. Some of you won't know that just about 16 years ago, right over here, my wife and I, with my children, stood and we were inducted into ministry in this very church because this church, after I'd finished college, saw fit to call me to take the risk and the chance of saying maybe this guy could help us in our ministry and serve the Lord. And I want to say today thank you so much to each and every one of you for that chance, that leading, that prompting of God that you felt that day. It has been an incredible journey, and I want to say thank you to you as a church for that process and what you did all those years ago that has been for us the beginning of what's known as full-time ministry, whatever that is. I trust you're all in full-time ministry if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. That no matter whether you're working or eating or drinking, whatever you do it for the glory of God. And that's my concern today, is that everything and that we think about and that we work hard to implement exactly that. That everything we do in some way must point to Him. And I'd like to fuel that process in your thinking, and I trust by the work of the Spirit today in your hearts that we worship God better than we did yesterday. I'm convinced, because I know my heart, and if yours is like mine, unless God does something, this is going to end badly. And so won't you bow with me as we ask Him to do this. Father in heaven, O wonderful God, O great sovereign Lord, the supreme ruler over all things, this great God who loved us, who loves us still, that loved us first that we also should love, that saw us in our need and sent Jesus to be the satisfaction for you and the removal and covering of our sin, that Lord, we should be brought into this relationship with you and reconciled by the death of your Son on the cross for us. That we would comprehend this in our experience by the work of your Spirit. That as your word was opened, you caused us to see. You made us look at ourselves and see our sinfulness. You made us look at you and see your holiness and your apartness. And we knew because of what you did that unless you saved us, we would not be saved at all. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us. And we pray, Lord, now today that He who began a good work, even now and tomorrow and as long as you tarry, would bring it to completion. And so, Lord, I pray that in some marvelous way, by your Spirit, your word would impact our hearts and minds, that we would live in a way that more represents Christ than we did yesterday, because you, O God, are worthy of honor. You have given us life that we may glorify you. And so I pray, Lord, now, help us to set aside all the things that will invade and help us to think your thoughts after you, and grant it so, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In some ways, I have no idea what I'm doing as a Baptist Northern Association coordinator. There's an interesting journey where I trust you, like me, love God's church. I hope you do. If you don't, That's something that I think God wants to work in you. That as imperfect as God's church is, this is the only thing that He sent His Son to die for. This is the only thing, this body of believers that will be there in that last day. Everything else will be consumed by fire. And so, spiritual ministry, if that's the right term for it, is really important. Or if you like, you following Christ is crucial. John Piper repeatedly says, don't waste your life. You don't get three chances like in a computer game. You get one shot. Don't mess it up. Make it count. And so, friends, I ask that you would turn with me, as I hope to help you as a church and as individuals to follow Christ better, to Romans chapter 11 and the last few verses of Romans 11. You might remember Romans deals with the subject of the gospel. Paul had never been to Rome. And so lays out what the gospel is, the power of God to save everyone who believes, and plays out how that works. The big question, of course, in Romans, and is dealt with from 9 through 11, is, okay, Paul, if the gospel is in fact the power of God to save everyone, that's the word used in Romans 1, everyone who believes, how come the Jews who've had the gospel for so much longer, how come we aren't seeing a massive influx of Jews to hold on to the Messiah? How come we're not seeing that? And Paul takes time to answer that through 9 and 10 and 11 to say, here's the reason. And it's a tough passage. We're not going to look at that today. But I want to look at how he wraps up the argument. And for me, it is a crucial thing. In fact, it has probably occupied more time in my thinking than anything else in the last 10 years. And so, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! Exclamation mark. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable are His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Those last words of this passage I've read, verse 36, have been the bit that is, I've wrestled with, that God has laid on my heart, even for today. What does it mean? How does this argument regarding how the gospel works and the unsearchableness of God's ways, such that no one can say, hey God, I think I can advise you how to do this better. Because God's ways are bigger than ours. You can't second guess God. I mean, imagine if you were to win a people for yourself. I bet you wouldn't have done it this way. Send your only son. Thousands of years of history. Not like this. And so I simply want to explore the question, what's the point? What's the point of ministry? What's the point of serving Christ? What's the point of doing missions? What's the point of coming to church? What's the point of my life? What's the point of the universe? Why are we here? What's the point? Or if you like, I think a possible sermon title would be this, God's Big Plan for Everything. Now that's quite a shot, I know. And I only get 30 minutes, maybe 40. If I see you wriggling, I know I get 30 minutes. 30 minutes to lay out God's big plan for anything. Good luck. You see why we need the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Firstly, won't you look with me very closely at verse 36. Simply says, for, so the reason, and you'll notice there's a few fours prior to this. So the big deal regarding why the Jews aren't saved, how that's going to work in the end, how God's ways can't be understood, how He is bigger than our thinking. Here's why. For, from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Now, if I were to ask you to think of a big bucket, I mean a really big bucket on stage here, and say to you, let's put that little phrase, all things, in the bucket. Let's start throwing them in. Stars, cosmos, chairs, watches, glasses, people, emotions, anger, all things in the bucket. You with me? That's what the verse says. That is, if I were to ask you the question, what's outside the bucket, I trust your answer would be nothing. That is, that everything has been made by Him. Everything. And I know you're immediately going to say, what about sin? We know Satan was created as an angel. And we know the Bible doesn't answer the question, what about sin? Where does that come from? And so I'm going to say with the Bible, I don't know. But I do know that this passage says all things. And if you think of a bucket and everything that goes in there, there's nothing outside the bucket in terms of what needs to go in, if in fact the words all things are accurate. And they're accurate. Greek word panta, meaning literally everything. That is, that from Him are all things. That is, everything that's in this bucket over here, all of them have their origination from God. Now think about that for a moment. We live in a world, we live in a society with a worldview that says, let's see how many ways we can exclude God from the all things process. This passage and many like it, John chapter 1, without Him was nothing created that was created. Talking about Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Everything that is created comes from one source, God Himself. And we need to say that loudly and often in our day because we have the worldview of the mass of criticism against that mindset to say, you moron Christians, how on earth can you believe such a stupid, preposterous idea? And to some degree, we're swayed. Did we really come like this from God? Is there perhaps recent findings, just not too far from here, in Johannesburg, a different way to comprehend how we came about? Let us make man in our image. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That is, everything, including you, every one of you, were created by God. Every one of you. Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. My mother's womb, unseen place, knit together, every one of you. That is, No matter your upbringing, no matter who your parents were, no matter where you grew up, God has engineered, can I use that term, everything such that you are not just created by God, but have the background you have. Act 17. He has given us our place, our boundaries, time, so that we may seek Him and find Him. Act 17. So everything about you is there because God has put it there. Everything. What is the point of your life? Firstly, to know I was made by God. Big ears, tall, big feet, just the way I am, I'm made by God. I'm white. I'm South African. I'm English. God made me this way. And it's good. And it's good. End of day 7 of creation, it's very good. So therefore, friends, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you need to know today, and especially some of you who are younger, questioning God, why am I made like this? Answer, because God wanted it like that. Everything's in the bucket, including you. The origination of everything is from God. From Him are all things. So what's the point of your life? Quite simply, let's go to the easier one. To Him are all things. That is, everything in the bucket is not just originated by God, but it has a destination that has everything to do with God. Think stars, think crickets, think mosquitoes. Look forward to seeing what they like in the new age. Everything has been made by God. Everything, think this through, everything in order that it may glorify God. Everything. From Him, through Him, we'll get to that now, to Him are all things. That is, all of creation, the primary purpose it's created is to worship and point to Jesus Christ and the Father in His character. Everything. Such that if you today do not know Jesus Christ and are not a worshiper of God, you are out of sync with everything, because it is created for one purpose, to glorify Him. Stars, crickets, mosquitoes, electric cables, telephones, think derivation. Everything has been made by God for His glory. Such that when I read 1 Corinthians, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God, I'm saying Weet-Bix. How does Weet-Bix glorify God? From Him. Thank you, Lord, for wheat. Thank you, Lord, for the process of combine harvesters and all of that that goes on. Thank you, Lord, that You have seen fit to bring about Weet-Bix on my plate today, that I may eat this and from the strength I derive from this, glorify You. And in some way, my life may point to You by what I say and what I do, that You be lifted up. See it? So whether you eat or drink, Coke, water, whatever it is, one purpose, created by God for His glory. Got it? This is crucial, friends. That is, the lights we have in the room today, through a process created by God, wisdom, human beings. What was that guy that founded light? Edison. Whole process, history, that we today, right now, may read our Bibles, that we may think God's thoughts after Him, Romans 11:36, and may worship Him Because that's why we were created. You got it? So how are you doing? How are you doing in terms of worshiping God? You're going to say, along with me and the rest of creation, not so well. Romans 8, sin, groaning. All of creation groans in eager anticipation for the revelation of the sons of God. One day there will be a day where this creative origination that ought to be so clearly worshipful of God will be seen to be so. And it won't be tweet, tweet, tweet we hear from the birds or grrr from the crickets or whatever it is. We'll hear praise God. Because that's what all of creation is created to do. And you know it and I do because you were created by God for that very reason. And this verse says it. Thus, and the response, the ending of the whole argument of the theological section of Romans 1 through 11 in terms of the gospel is, to him be glory forever. Amen. And then the rest of 12 through 16 works out, how do we glorify God? How do we do that? Bodies, living sacrifice. All the way through. So friends, in one verse, we have a really weighty subject. What's the point? Answer, made by God. Made for His glory. Everything. Everything. Have you got it? I'm not sure you have. Can you say today, I am created by God? Yes or no? Can you say that? I'm created by God. Are you sure? Are you created just the way you are by God? Yes. Everything. Now, let me ask you then, if you're created by God, how are you doing in terms of glorifying Him? Romans 7. The good I want to do, I don't do. Instead, I keep doing the stuff I don't want to do. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ. That's the middle bit. From Him, through Him, to Him. Let's talk about the through Him now. And you might say, Lance, you're sucking this all out of your thumb. I want to bounce you to a cross-reference. It's a fascinating one. Colossians chapter 1. There are a few. I have at least four. So if you want to pick up an argument, we can do that later. I'd love to do that. Open scripture with you. Colossians chapter 1. Come with me. Verse 15 onwards. And listen how, now that you've read Romans 11:36, listen how Paul lays it out and see if it connects. He is, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, Christ, all things, bucket, were created in heaven and on earth, just in case, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created. And you'd expect it to say, by Him. And it says, through Him. Is that what your Bible says? Yep. That is, that the by Him origination, there's an ongoingness to God's working. And it's wrapped up in that same little phrase, through Him. And then it goes on, and for Him. Think glory. Think direction. That's exactly the same as Romans 11:36. And He is before all things, obviously. And in Him, all things, bucket, hold together. What does that mean? That is, we know that everything's made up of electrons and protons and neutrons and little quark things that they're now discovering, and six forms of little quarks and maybe some more coming out. And it's got a little spin thing happening. The little electron buzzes around like this. And everything, that's the basic building blocks of all physical things. And it's called a strong force, because that little electron doesn't spin out because of a strong pull force between electron and nucleus. Think solar system. Big sun, big mass, big pull. Venus, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Funny little guy on the end called Pluto. What is that? Who knows? Pull. Earth, number three, doesn't spin off because of pull. And we call it gravitation. And we've no idea how it works. We just know it does. Because when something has mass, it has pull. So I'm pulling you to me and you're pulling. I'm pulling you to me and vice versa, because everything has mass and pulls together. And we've no idea how it works. We just know it does. And we can measure the pull because we know the mass. How does it work? In Him all things hold together. That is, not just creation, but sustaining happens because Jesus is involved. What? Hang on. Science wrote God out of the equation years ago, didn't it? Why, yes, it did. And it's wrong. Keep reading, please. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. Why did Paul put that in there? Because the church holds together because He's the head. Here's why I love the church. Because God is in the middle of it. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything, bucket, He might be preeminent first. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him, same little phrase, to reconcile to Himself, bucket, all things. That is, God's big plan is not just to originate and cause to wrap up in Him, but to bring all things, reconcile, to re-establish a relationship with Himself, all things. Thus, think of the cross. And now I want to ask you to take for a moment a little concept. Imagine three thirds. This is one third. This is the middle third. Over here is another third. And over the side is another third. This we call time. Day one of creation, wrap up in day judgment. This, and of course it's not thirds now, is eternal. How do you have thirds with eternal? This is before creation. This side is everything after it. And it's eternal that side, and it's eternal this side, and it's confined here. Come over here for me a minute. Hebrews chapter 1, conversations between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the day one of creation. Let's make man in our image. But we know what he's going to do. He's going to mess up. We're going to give him the option, even in his non-sinful state of choosing to disobey, and he's going to. So what are we going to do? How about this? How about this for a plan to reconcile by the death of you, Jesus, all things to us. That's quite a plan. Such that over here, all things, and especially mankind, would get it as to how much we love Him. That's a plan. And so, with the full knowledge of everything that is to play out, God begins the process of creating. With a view to have the cross in the middle, by which He reconciles you and I, by the death of His Son, to Himself. Why? That we may praise Him and glorify Him. Get it? Everything. And not just you and I, but all of creation, because all of it has been messed up by Adam and Eve's sin. All of it. And there's this groaning, there's this waiting, looking forward to seeing what mosquitoes look like without their zap powers. Yesterday, my daughter, dressed only in a towel, comes out the shower and says, "Dad, come. What's going on? There's a spider in the shower." And I go in and it's one of these really big guys. And I understand now why she's only dressed in a towel. "Won't you sort it out?" Now, of all the things I don't like spiders. So there's a bit of a concern here. So I managed to get the thing out on the towel and chuck it outside. And this morning I decided I'm going to go and have breakfast outside. And on the table is the towel. And I think, oh, okay. I wonder why this... And there's the spider. And breakfast and me are out of there. But it won't be like that in the age to come. Over here, and this is a little phase, it's so short. Over here, the point is that you may stand here and get this, and get what God has done for you in the cross, and realize through Jesus, I have been reconciled to Him because I was at enmity with Him because of my sin. And I didn't even know it. That God has reconciled me to Himself. And He planned it. And He set it up. And He made it happen. And Christ actually died. And in my experience over here, I came to understand by the Holy Spirit what Jesus had done on the cross for me. And through a marvelous thing that I still battle to comprehend, repented, believed in Jesus, and was made one with God again, so that my little life would come to an end. God has not made us for this. 1 Corinthians 15. To live on earth forever. He's made us to be over here. Revelation 22. Now is the dwelling place of God with man. It's big. Such that you may be here and realize how great the love of God is for you. Not just some, not just so many thousand, million people, whatever it is, but you, you specifically, such that over here, Psalm 139, all my days are written up in your book, O God, before one of them came to be. That God knew you before the first day of creation, that He chose you. I need to show to you how great my love is for you. That Jesus Christ should come and die on the cross for you. That you should be with me over here and get it how much I love you. To which we say, to Him be praise forever. Amen. And all creation and all eternality is too short to say that adequately because of His great love for you. And so I simply want to say, friends, if you do not know Jesus Christ today, if you've never come to that point yourself of saying, Lord, I'm not reconciled to you right now. My sin is the thing that's standing in the way. But you came for that. That was the reason Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. That my sin, which is great. Amen? Was paid for by Jesus' death on the cross for me. And think about that. That all your sins, past, up to now, present, and future, are all bundled and laid upon Him. That you should praise Him. That you should find the reason for your existence. That you should know, I am the way I am because God made me just the way I am, that I would praise Him the way I am. Now friends, the big issue right now is not your lack of comprehension. It's your lack of submission. It's your disobedience. There will be a day at the end of this age where God says enough. It's done. Time is over. And whatever is outstanding will be dismissed from His presence in hell forever. And whatever remains and is reconciled already will be with Him forever. Where will you be? Do you know Jesus today, right now? Is He your Savior? Has your sin been paid for, all of it, in the cross of Christ? If that's true, I want you to understand, friends, you're made by God, just the way you are. You're made for a purpose, to glorify Him. And all of this is only true if you reconcile to Jesus, to the Father, by the work of what Christ has done on the cross for you. That you may praise Him adequately. That you in that last day may get it. How big is His love for me. So friends, won't you bow with me? Father in heaven, what a great God you are. How indeed unsearchable are your ways. How inscrutable your judgments. Who can ever be an advisor to you? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. I pray, O God, right now, for perhaps one or two here today that have not come to that point of saying, Lord Jesus, all my sins, all my anti-godness, You died on the cross for that. Forgive me, O God, for my sin. Make me Yours right now, that I in that last day, and even now in this age, however many years You give me left, that this life may be characteristic and earmarked by that glorifying of You now. That eating and drinking and whatever else I do may point to You. I pray therefore, O God, that You would change me. Make me Yours today, that I may worship You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.